Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much.
Good evening and welcome to Lenny Godfrey's Straight No Chaser. Well, this evening I have a bevy of beauties that have come to visit and sit with me for an hour or so, so that we can talk about the effect of the theater on their lives and how the theater has had an effect, how they have affected the theater. I am going to mute them right now so that they can be quiet while I'm talking because, you know, these four women are extremely animated. So while I'm talking and giving you the breakdown of what I do every week that we're on the air, I'll let them take a breath for us a little bit. So let me just say I'm welcoming you to Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser. You're on blogtalkradio.com/ S is in Sam, F is in Fred, T is in Tom, H is in Harry, and the number 2. We are over 115 episodes now. I'm very proud to say that we're on our way to 200. There, three of these four ladies have been on the programs before. We're going to review a little bit of that. I didn't bring their episodes up because it was a lot of laughing and joking and everything, but we will record all that. And the fourth one, this is her first time here. So we're going to introduce her to the way that we have a conversation here on Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser. But first, a little housekeeping. Yes, you're on blogtalkradio.com. And if you want to call in, ladies and gentlemen, the board is really getting full, and I can't help it. I can't let you in, get you any more. Just keep calling in. Maybe somebody will drop out or something like that. And you call in at 516-453-6063. Tonight's episode, I'd really like to talk because we are celebrating women this month. Let's celebrate the women in theater, and in particular now the BIPOC women, black women in theater, and our positions in it and what we have gone through and what we are going through at this very moment to keep on achieving the things that we have. We are a victim of a lot of different things, ageism, racism, sexism. There are a lot of isms that we fall victim of. But beyond all of that, and despite all of that, we have been in the business many, many decades, and I hope have many more years to grow and produce really, I think, very productive, productive artwork. So, that being said, I had to try to think which way I wanted to start. Would I start with the person that I've known the longest, or should I start with the person who has not been on the air before and let her get that out of the way and so she can relax and then put these other three divas to the needle? So I think what I'm going to do is that I'm going to start with the person who has not been here before. Let me tell you a little bit about her, and then she'll be able to tell you about herself. I met her in an audition kind of situation. These are all the women of Essence of Acting, Inc., and all of them have been with us almost until the beginning, from the very, very beginning. And at this point in time, Essence of Acting, I think, had only done one reading, and that was Charles White's Unentitled. And we had done that at Susan Batson's, and I think we had done it in Pennsylvania. And then we were traveling to Albany, New York, to do the reading of Celeste Bedford Walker's Greenwood, An American Dream Destroyed. And one of our members, who was longstanding, had another gig. She couldn't go. She had gone with us to Delaware, but she couldn't go up to Albany, which meant that we had to audition when we got to Albany. And I was recommended to this actress, was recommended to me, and I saw her on tape and immediately realized how very talented she was. She is an actress of that area and works a lot in that area. She has a lot of credits behind her. She's been in Ragtime. She's done Ruth and Raisin in the Sun. She's done Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth. She's done In Our Workshops, Born Yesterday, and most recently and continually, she does the character of Della in An American Dream Destroyed. But she's also a very, very talented artisan. She is one who has designed our T-shirts. She designed jewelry for us. And as a result, we are probably one of the best-looking companies when we go and present ourselves because of some of her work. And with that, I'd like to introduce you and let her say hello. This is Kim Wafer. Kim, why don't you say hello to everyone?
Hello, everyone. Lenny, that was so kind. I appreciate, and I'm excited to be here. This is my first time, like you said, so I'm so excited to be on your program. Yes, as Lenny said, I met the group when they came to Albany, New York, to do the version of Greenwood, and this has just been a joy, a fantastic ride with this Essence of Acting group. I'm learning so much. I've learned so much through the ladies and the men who are in this group, and it's really like a family unit, and it's amazing to be in the group. We just did it last month, and I'm telling you, we're still riding high just even from that experience. So I'm so honored to be here today, and I appreciate you inviting me on today.
Well, thank you, and thank you for taking the time, because I know this is a time out of everybody's evening, for taking the time to be here. I decided the next two ladies I know in different ways and in different times, so I decided that I did Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo. And in that Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo came up this particular wonderful performer who is a trained dancer. And both of them have a lot of credits are similar, so they won't know kind of where I'm going until I get into the specifics of their credits. They're trained dancers. They're both born New Yorkers. Both have been on Broadway many times, and I have encountered them different ways. This particular woman, I remember I was going to see a friend of mine, Franz Jones, and he was doing a reading, and I had gone. I came into the building. I think it was at a mosque, and I came into the building. I sat down, and it was someone else too. Maybe she'll be able to tell me who else was there. I think I can't remember. And I turned around, and this woman walked in, and I hadn't seen her in such a long time, and she looked exactly the way she looked when I had seen her years before. Wonderful dancer, beautiful woman. And we talked for a little bit, and at the end of this performance, I had said to her, now, I'm doing this group, and I think I'd really love for you to come and let us talk about maybe, you know, what you can do with this acting group that I have. And she said, oh, yes, I'm going to come. I'm coming. Well, She did not come until there was an official audition segment for this particular production, this particular reading, and it was the Greenwood reading in American Dream Destroyed. And she came in and turned it out, okay? And then became one of the members that was traveling at this time. Now, before all of that, you know, you can recall seeing her on Broadway in Guys and Dolls. I believe she was the, if I'm not mistaken, she was the dance captain for that. She has been the dance captain for just about everything that she's been in. She was a dance captain for Guys and Dolls, Amy's Behaving, Little Ham. She's, you know, Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope. She's been in music theater there, Trumanisha. She's also been the choreographer for a production of Five Guys Named Mo. So, and she's remounted numerous Ain't Misbehaving productions with the original choreography by Arthur Feria. So that's just a little of her credits. I don't want to go on because we'll be here all day talking about her, but I would like you, if you could, please, to welcome a member again of Essence of Acting and a good friend and exercise partner, my friend, Julia Lima. Julia, why don't you say hello?
Well, hello, everyone. And Lenny, I thank you for that sterling description of myself. I guess I have to give you 10% now whenever I get hired. It has really been
I'll take it. I'm not refusing anything.
Kim, it has just been a real pleasure and a joy to work with the company and to work with you, because as you said, we've known each other a long time, but, you know, I did not know you as a director, you know, and just the professionalism with the way you run the company and with rehearsals and the things you introduce us to in terms of the nuances of thinking about a character and different ideas and stuff. It's just been a pleasure to work with and learn new things from everyone I'm working with and from you as well as a really, I think, a brilliant director. So Essence of Acting is really a nice, pleasant work environment, which is also a great learning experience, you know, and maintains a level of professionalism that you'd find in any top-notch professional company. So I am so glad just to be a part of it, and I thank you for inviting me and having me here tonight.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I am so honored to have the quality of women that, and men, of course, but we are talking about now this particular episode, the women of Essence, that are the permanent members. We have wonderful guest artists that come in, and I was really baffled because I wanted to invite some of them, and I will at another point in time as being the guest artist, but I wanted to really honor you all who have stayed there and really invested your time and effort and volunteerism with the group and have tolerated some of my suggestions. Sometimes I am met with wide eyes when I say, well, why don't we try something like this? And you guys will go, what? you are so gracious and you try, what I'm suggesting, and you see that it really does stretch the muscles that you have and the range of your talent, and that was it's so wonderful to see the growth there. It is my desire to have an atmosphere of safety, of creativity, where one is not afraid to suggest something about their own work, where one is not afraid to attempt it. And in that environment, it is a very safe environment. And that's what I was trained in when I was studying theater as well as directing as well as acting and singing. It was always safe. And I hope to always have that in the environment. So thank you, Julia. Thank you, Kim. And now to the third one. Well, you know, I think I probably, she is second to the longest person that I know on this program, because I met her, about 2 years after I started the business. And she, I had already done a showcase of a program that had turned into the potential of a Broadway show. And we had started a bit of rehearsal, and the brilliant and wonderful and lovely, handsome, sweet man, Billy Wilson, had come into our production, and he brought two dancers in that production. One was the ample and flexible late Lonnie McNeil, who was brilliant, who I think one of the only dancers I know who kicked himself so hard one night, who knocked himself out. That's what his bop-mot was. So I mean, we had to carry him off the stage. He was just wonderful. And then came this dancer. And I want to just say a little bit about her, because at that point she had already been in Bubbling Brown Sugar. And she came into the show, Yubi, and I needed her to be there because she was the dancer example that I really needed to try to emulate, because I looked like I could move, but I really couldn't move like that. And Billy understood it, and she understood it, and I learned so much, and there was so much patience that was given to me so that I would be able to be comfortable on that Broadway stage. But she is a member of the stage managers and directors organization. She has an Adolfo Award for Best Choreography. She choreographed and has credited in the revival of Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope. She's done workshops with Smokey Joe's Cafe. She's served as choreographer for Little Ham from my hometown. She is choreographed a revival of One More Time. Now, she is a member of EOA, but she's the resident choreographer for the Alumni Ensemble of Harlem. And she is Queen Esther's, involved in Queen Esther's Harlem Gospel Singers. So I will say stop now because, you know, her Broadway talents keep going on. But I want her to comment if I've left anything out. I want to introduce you, as we all know her in the industry, as La Doc, Miss Leslie Dockery. Say hello, Leslie.
Hi, y'all. How you doing? Boy, you really made me sound really good. You made me feel good about myself.
Come a little closer to the mic. Leslie.
Can you hear me? Hello.
Just a little bit closer. A little bit more.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's excellent. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Okay.
What do you mean I made you sound good? You are good. What's wrong with you?
You made me sound really good because sometimes you don't feel as fabulous as you really are. So you just reminded me how fabulous I really am. So you told me don't think about those things. So when you said it, it just reinforced it for me. But it's funny. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
When I came into Yubi, I had no idea I was doing Yubi. I have to tell you this story. So Yubi is a singing show. Anyone who auditioned was singing. So none of us really auditioned. Our agents didn't send us up for it. However, when they brought in Billy Wilson, he said, oh, I need some dance stuff to do here. See, Lonnie McNeil was already that singer. So he needed one more dancer. So then I came in, but I had no idea that That's what I was doing. I mean, the next day we left for Philly, I think. So, who am I doing here?
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it was very close.
Remember,
yeah.
Lenny?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was very close.
And we
are one of the closest.
I love the Yubi cat. And Lenny could dance. She just didn't know how to do the in-between stuff to get to the next step. But she always knew. Right, Lenny?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would always get pushed up with y'all. I'd get pushed next to the dancers, and you all would know how to do it so in 30 seconds. And I'd be sitting in there like, how can they do this? How can they do this?
And you know, you were here in the front.
Yes, I'd be in the front. How could I, you know, I just thought Billy Wilson was out of his mind, but he wasn't.
He knew what he was doing.
You know. But, I mean, how wonderful it was, that whole that experience, especially in that time of my life where I was surrounded by all of you all who had wonderful credits and everybody had done so much. And everybody was so welcoming, you know. So it was really a wonderful experience. And I thank you.
Like
I thank you
for
all the
guys. You didn't look like a newbie. You look like, all right, I'll do this. And you have done it. You've done it your whole life. You've done
I tell you that whenever we're in sessions, you've done it your whole life.
All of us have really, Brenda, Kim, we're not newbies. He's been here a long-ass time.
I know.
Call Brandon.
I know, Leslie. No, you don't be saying all that.
Brandon is bringing the door.
All right, I'm going to make you be quiet because I can see you trouble. So I'm going now to the woman who I've known the longest. And I don't know. I don't even remember the day that I met her. Now, that's how long ago this was. That's pitiful. I don't. I know we were in a class or something together, and I knew that she was a person that I wanted to know. And this was at Hunter College, so that's how long ago. And she was always a rock. She never got excited about anything. Everything would always, well, we'll get it, or it'll be done. And she's exactly that same way now. Exactly. Every once in a while, she said, "You mean you want me to do it now?" But let me tell you some of her Broadway credits, because here we go again. He's been in Neil Simon's Proposals and August Wilson's Joe Turner's Come and Gone. She's worked at Lincoln Center Theater with the Negro Ensemble and God's Heart from the Mississippi Delta. She's done the New Federal Theater, Trial of a One-Sided Black Woman. She's worked at the Circle Repertory Theater. I mean, it goes on and on and on. The Long Walk, where she did Amen Corner, and The Day the Bronx Died. She's been in films. We've seen her now on commercials, along with Kim, who does commercials upstate too. We've seen her in commercials for Lion King. We've seen her in commercials. You'll tell me the insurance company. I can't remember. But we see her. I see her two or three times a day now in commercials. I'm sick of seeing her, you know. But I'm gonna ask her for a loan pretty soon, because she'd be able to buy myself. Buy me a summer home. And I do remember that when I was thinking about creating this company, I was talking to Julius Hollingsworth, and I said, you know, we need actresses. We need to have actresses in categories. I said, and now who am I going to get? Who's going to be that mature woman? I said, I don't know. And he went, Brenda. And I went, oh, Brenda. Yeah, let me call Brenda. And there, and she's been there from the first day of Essence of Acting through Untitled, Greenwood, The Women, all of those kinds of things that we've done. She has been there and stoic and always, as Franz Jones calls her, the diva. And there's a name for everybody in here. The doc has her name. Julia has Duchess. You know, I mean, everyone has a nickname somehow. So I'm going to stop here and just let her talk for a little bit and say hello. My longtime friend, Brenda Thomas Denmark.
Thank
say something,
you,
Brenda.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, boy, I got to up your commission, girl. Woo! Oh, my God. Julia, I got to give her 20%, not 10. I got to give her 20. Got to give her 20.
I'm going to take all that money.
Beautiful.
That's okay.
Introduction.
Not, what is it? 10? What is the insurance?
That's a Colonial Pen commercial.
Colonial Pen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Colonial Pen. We see you every day. Every day on Colonial
Pen. Yeah, that was a blessing.
Well, now it's taken me about a half an hour to get all of you all introduced. Because I really want the audience to understand the intricacy of the relationship, how we all interconnect, how I interconnected with all of you all. And now I really... If you all, and when you speak, to let everybody know who it is that's speaking, because it's four women, so it's a little difficult for us to decipher the voices. But tell me, and I'm going to start with Kim. Kim, tell me how you feel about being in the business and where is it that you want to go in this business?
You know, where I'm looking to go after, you know, going forward, you mean, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I find the more that I do what I do in terms of being on the stage or doing a commercial, anything, it's such a learning experience. I think that when you get the opportunity, and I actually call it a blessing to play some of the characters that that I've been able to portray. You know, they're always strong, strong women in one way or another. You know, last night I just did Shirley, you know, Chisholm, and, you know, I think of Della's, and I think of, you know, Harriet Tubman's. And I mean, you have all of these women who have made their mark on society. And even if they're fictional, they just seem to be women who are very strong. And I think that because the way you have us kind of do our character studies and you have us, you know, really, you know, dive in to, you know, find out who are these people? What would they, you know, what would they think? What would they be, you know, where did they come from? You do all this, you know, research kind of, you know, for yourself. And it really makes you a stronger person with just by your, you know, within. It makes you a stronger person because you feel like, gosh, if they can do it, you know, because you have to find that essence of that character, which is, you know, essence of acting. You find that essence of that character, and then when you go off stage, you're not still that person, but you take a little bit of whatever they had, whether it be courage, whether it be strength, you know, whether it be understanding, whatever it is, you take a little bit with you. And it's always nice to see, you know, the confidence that you have once you leave the stage, because you bring sometimes the idiosyncrasies of those characters. You bring them, you take them off stage sometimes, and I really do think, and you know, even if you're playing somebody who may be going through, or you know, maybe having, you know, a traumatic experience, at least you can empathize with people now. You can, you know, a little bit better because you actually had to go in that place. And I just think that the art, I think that what we do as actresses and actors, I think that it's a unique way to see the world, because you really do get to tap into the issues and the lifestyles of everyone, and you can kind of bring a little bit of that knowledge and understanding out with you when you go out into the world. And so I really do consider it an honor to do that. But where am I going? You know, honestly, you know, it's funny because, you know, what does the Bible say? That your gift will make room for you. So wherever the Lord leads, I say, you know, you don't take every role, because sometimes you can't. It's just not for you. But you know, when you get those opportunities to really play or portray some of these women. You know, you just feel it. You can feel it when an opportunity comes and you say, that's it. That's somebody the world needs to know. And I'd love to have, you know, the privilege of maybe bringing that character to life. So, you know, I look for opportunities when they come. I weigh them to see if it's something I can do and or things that I could pull off. And then I kind of make my choice. But sometimes you get directors like Lenny Godfrey, who even if you don't think we can do it, you find a way to make sure that you know that there's something within that she sees, that she, you know, she gives you that wherewithal to say, get out there and do it. And you want to do it because she saw something and you want to do it because you're saying, well, she saw it. Maybe it's in there. Okay. And this makes you dig a little deeper. So I hope I wasn't long-winded.
Is that you, Brenda? Thank you, Kim. Is that you, Brenda? Go ahead.
Yes.
What do you say?
What she's saying, speaking the truth there, because, you know, it's so important that you're working with a director who is able to see beyond what you see. The director is your eyes.
Yes.
And
yes.
So you don't know, you know, how you're looking out there or whatever. And Lenny has that tenth sense to just, you know, pull out of you stuff that you didn't know you had.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a sensitivity about her, which is so important as a director, because there's some directors that make you want to go home and cry.
Right.
I've had those. I've experienced some of that. I come home and cry. But she has a very nurturing way in her directing, and she has vision.
Yeah.
And that is so important, and that is why the pieces that we've done have come across so well.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much.
Too.
Well, you know, just passing on what I've been taught. Julia, what are you saying?
Yes. I have to say ditto to everything they have said. And also, I know what it is to be pushed in a direction and have come to appreciate it. Because, you know, when I did Ain't Misbehaving, you know, everybody has to be with their lady. I was the Charlene character. That was my lady. When I taught the show and put the show up, that's what I did. And Arthur would always tell me, you would make a good Nell. And I was like, no. Yeah, I fought a tooth and nail. Until one time I was actually forced, I fought it to the end, to do Nell. And it went well. I did well. The show was a success, but I do not ever want to do Nell again. But I that his friendly persuasion. And Lenny has that same thing. You know, just like... you know, when we go to audition and you do a monologue. And Lenny told me one time, we were doing Death of a Salesman, which at that time had not been done by a company of color.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing that production, and I was Linda Lohman, who was Willie Lohman's wife. And she has a bit of a monologue. It's kind of chopped up and stuff. And it went, you know, the reading went well. It's fine. And Lily tells me, you know, you should put that monologue together and use it as a monologue, you know, when you audition. I'm like, what? No, go ahead, you know, put it together. So I said, you know, fighting again. And so I went home and I pieced it together and stuff. And as I started piecing it together and going over it, I thought to myself, why shouldn't I use this monologue? This is a story that is universal. Any person, this could be their story. This could be any family, you know. And I did, you know, to put it together, Lenny helped me tweak it and do things with it and learn it and stuff. And I have auditioned with it and gotten several jobs, thank you very much. you know.
All right.
But as Brenda was saying, it's a good thing to work with someone that does have a vision,
mm-hmm.
and number two, does have a vision where you are concerned. And
mm-hmm.
I say this, I'm not intending to offend anyone, but sometimes when we as people of color go into a room to audition, the people behind the table have no vision when it comes
mm-hmm.
to us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go in there looking like and being the character so they can see us as what we are auditioning for, where other people of another persuasion can come in with T-shirts and jeans for the same
wow.
role. And I have seen it. I'm speaking from experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, you know, it's a blessing to be among fellow thespians of my own persuasion who have a vision, who have a talent, and is not afraid to step out, step forth, and carry the rest of us with them, push
mm-hmm.
us toward a bigger and better goal for everyone. And I think that's, I'm just saying, I think that's what essence of acting is all about, but that's how
mm-hmm.
it should be. You
right.
know,
right.
so we each one, teach one, you know,
yes.
and bring your fellow thespians to home. No matter what background they come from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Well, what about you? Well, thank you all. You know, thank you. What about you, Leslie? Because, you know, I remember the moment we were at Jeffrey Thompson's house, and I was getting ready to leave. I believe it was maybe Maurice's surprise party or something, and just as I was going out the door, you said, "Lenny, I want to be in your class." And I said, "Well, Leslie, it's not a class. It is an ensemble, and we are all working very hard. It's not a class." And I said, "But you should come because I think that you would be very good." Now, how do you feel about actually coming and what you benefited from, where, you know, and how is that determining where you want to go now, Leslie?
You might be muted.
Hey, are you muted, Leslie? No.
I'm here.
Okay. Well, can you hear me? Did you hear the question? I don't know.
Can you hear me?
Are you in and out?
Hello?
You're in and out. What are you saying? Yeah.
You can't hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay.
Did you hear the question?
Yes.
Okay.
When I said that to you, you said, first of all, it's very serious. I take this very seriously. I'm serious because I'm the comedian. I'm the funny girl. She was like, "No, I really want you. You can't be like the way I am." So what Lenny did to me was, okay, you're not going to believe this, Agnes of God. If anyone knows that play, you know what that is. Lenny had me do Mother Superior. Me? As Mother Superior is like, "Oh, really? Really?" And she worked with me And the wonderful thing was that she stripped all those, I call them cheap tricks. Now I call them cheap tricks. She stripped all of that from me. And she said, "Leslie," that's what she had to say. And for some reason, so I had been with her for months and learning through this whole process. So she didn't say the first thing, "Okay, do Agnes of God." I think she had me do something else. But by the time she told me to do that, I'm sure she knew she's ready. No, did I think I was ready? Absolutely not. No. Agnes of God, Mother Superior, me, Leslie Dockery, and what you put me through to realize, no, you can do this. because we don't get the opportunities to do those kind of roles, especially roles that are classics. Like Julia was saying, Death of a Salesman, that's a classic. Agnes of God is a classic. We don't get to do our classics, and we do have some classics, some major classics, that they don't really repeat every few years the way they do. Like Seeing Anything Goes One More Time, or, you know, shows that they repeat constantly. So she had me do this classic, and I felt like, wow, I did that. She made me believe I could do it. She worked with me.
Yeah.
And I was able to do it.
I think
that's Julia, that Death of Salesman is amazing.
Well, you know what? I think that we as women of color don't get an opportunity to exercise our muscles like women who are not of color. When you talk about the classics, these are American classics, which means it should be done by Americans, anyone here. It can be done, and they're universal, really. I mean, Death of a Salesman has been done by Asians, by Germans, by everyone.
Everyone,
And I think the last attempt was done by people of color. And still an all-American production of it. Still, I think, has to arrive. It's always been mixed. I think it's been some London actors and then American actors. It is a story. It's an American story. And the relationship is that between a woman and a man. And we have been regulated in a lot of productions, some written by people who are not, that don't look like us, and some who do, that we don't have those kinds of relationships. And so we don't, even in productions that are written for us to be in, don't have the opportunity to exercise those kinds, that kind of intimate relationship.
Yes.
And it's intimate in its execution of how these people relate to one another, not just the intimacy of physicality or sex, but how the longevity of a relationship and what that does. And we don't get those opportunities. So that's why Essence of Acting to me is so very important. And that's why you ladies, every single one of you, I remember Brenda, when we did the women, do you remember the Countess? And I remember I said to you, I said, Brenda, I want you to do the Countess. You said, Countess? What am I going to do with the Countess? and then drawing on a culture that you knew very well, we made her Caribbean. And it was absolutely brilliant. It's brilliant.
Yes.
I mean, you know.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You have a vision.
You know, what I want to talk about here is what kind of opportunities we want outside of Essence of Acting. I know that within our confines, we work very well, and we have wonderful guest artists who come in and enjoy it. But when they go back, you know, it's almost they're going back outside to this place that doesn't welcome them. And you can tell when they come back to us, they're like, oh, I'm so glad I'm here. I'm home. What change do we want the industry to have so that we can feel at home both inside Essence of Acting and outside? What do we want? What kind of atmosphere would you like to have? Anybody start. Anybody start.
This is Julia. I feel like, the atmosphere still has a lot of change to go through because they diversity. But how often do we actually see diversity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we have those opportunities. I mean, if you look at the shows that are coming back, I think there are like 9 new Broadway shows that are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
The Wiz is the only one of color.
Which one?
you know, and the other it's like where they have maybe one person of color or two or whatever. So, you know, where are the shows that show our culture? You know, where are the, you know, I mean, all right, we don't always need a revival. I mean, we've got wonderful, wonderful playwrights, Dominique Morisot, Lynn Nottage, all of these people. You know, I mean, even the people that, you know, are not as known as them, you know, and plays that are coming back. And you might see one or two sprinkled in again as usual. And, you know, the comfort is not going to come until the diversity truly lives. You know, I don't want to see everything black or everything Asian or everything Hispanic. I want to see everybody doing everything. And that's the comfort is going to come in. Because you will then know that, okay, there's real diversity here, and it doesn't matter unless the character is specifically written for a specific person, a specific race.
Other than that, it's an American story.
And until that truly comes to fruition, the level of comfort, you know, that we feel in Essence of Acting, because we're among our peers and know that there is true camaraderie there, and everybody's pulling for one another. We all want to see each other excel and do well and do better, you know, and move on and move upward and forward. You know, and until that truly happens on Broadway, it's going to take a minute.
You know, I will say, too. Oh, sorry.
Yes, go, Kim.
Did you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
No, I was going to say, you know, one of the great things about the Essence of Acting, I know for me personally, when COVID was a huge issue, Lenny was able to make make it still work where we had our, you know, things on Zoom and things of that nature. And in doing that, it opened up opportunities for people to be seen by people who may not have otherwise, have been seen. And in doing that, I was able to connect with a group here in Albany. And when you talk about diversity, I know I had the opportunity to work with iTheater of Saratoga, and they did an Agatha Christie, a little remake of that, where it was called The Murder of Roger Ackroyd. Now, what they ended up doing in that cast was they cast multicultural. You know, I mean, there was African American as, you know, the widow, and then you had who had a white daughter who had, you know, I mean, and you just had different ethnicities represented in, you know, not common a lot of times. And so, you know, it was very much a breath of fresh air to see that, you know, sometimes you're not pigeonholed to just one character or one type of, genre, or not genre, but like, you don't always have to just play African American. You can always, you know, if, like you said, the humanity is humanity. And so, you know, we all cry, we all laugh, we all bleed, you know, and so you can play all of these characters, you know, and there are some companies out there that are making that a possibility to be able to, you know, not color code the cast. And it was wonderful, you know, and I think that, you know, and I love the fact when I first started with Essence of Acting, Lenny had come in and she had a stack full of scripts. And I don't think one of them was, predominantly an African-American script. And she said, we're doing these. And I thought, actually, no, Soldier's Play was. But or it was a Soldier's Play or Soldier's Story? Soldier's Play. But
Soldier's
all of
play,
them,
yeah.
Yeah, Soldier's Play. And then we did the women, and we were just, it was all cast of all black women. It's just wonderful sometimes when you can just mix things up, you know, mix the cast up, take a play that is predominantly, you know, maybe for somebody who's, you know, Caucasian or something, and make it all black actors and really make it work. And like she said, you know, take the women and, make, you know, one of the characters a Caribbean. I mean, it was hysterical also. It just added another element of surprise to it. So I like how the creativity, how Essence of Acting really does that. So.
Awesome. You know, I think one of the things that the industry needs to explore, and I have to speak about it a little bit tomorrow, is, what, you know, because I don't speak, when I speak about experiences as a black woman in this industry. I speak about my own experiences. I don't represent everybody. But maybe there is a shared there's a shared consequence to it that people can relate to. But we have to examine the whole concept of diversity and whether people are really ready for what diversity means. And I think it's a nice word, but I don't think people are really ready for what diversity is. And until that is really defined and until that is really dissected and people accept their own on both sides of all sides of the table, or this round table, all our own prejudices, our own limitations and criticisms, until we really do accept that they exist and work with that, then we are fooling ourselves about diversity. And I find that is what really does exist in this industry. And it's not malicious. I'm not calling anybody any names. I'm not, you know, making anybody any monsters. No. It's not malicious. It's just inbred, you know, in all of us. And we have to, what our expectations are with the lack of expectations of other people, we really do have to examine that and examine it seriously in a discussion and not an argument, but in this, and being honest with ourselves. And some people will and some people won't, you know. So there you go with that one. I know this is an hour show. I've extended us a little bit, but I don't want to hold us too long because of the simple fact that we have a little bit, we have to, our webinar to go to. But I do have a curiosity that I'd like to do in the last 10, 15 minutes of this show, and I'm not giving anybody an opportunity to ask you all any questions. So if there's someone, if there's a question, this is the time. We're going to go a little bit over that you can do that so that the question can be answered. If you in this conversation that I believe salutes women in the industry and our place in the industry. I am not satisfied. I'll start it like this about what I am. I'm not satisfied with the identification that a woman's movement also includes us all of the time. Because as well meant as it is, when progress is made, it is not made for those of us in color at the same time. Individually, yes, we may get there. But as a group, it is not. And I think that we have to, as a group, admit that, as a society, admit that. And I think that a lot of people will think, what are you talking about? I mean, we all have the same rights. No, we don't. And I experience it every single day. And I think that that's, what do you think about that statement that I'm saying right now? How do you feel about that? Is it new to you? Do you feel that, you know, it doesn't apply? How do you feel about that? The definition of diversity and movement and the women's movement as it applies to those of us of color.
So are you asking if we feel that the women's movement, good thing that women are trying to move forward as a group, but once they move forward, somehow we don't get our just due.
Yeah, that's about it. Okay. I mean, if you look at the history of suffrage, you know, there is movement, and you know there is movement that happens there, but it happens for one group much more than it happens for another group. And you, if you examine it and dissect it, it just does, you know. We have to be, I think, cognizant of that kind of thing. Not angry about it, not belligerent about it, aware of it, and deal with it. Am I in left field for some people, or What are your thoughts?
No, I think you're right on. I mean, I think that that's what, you know, one of the most popular conversations right now among, if we're talking actresses, you know, even the pages and the opportunities that present themselves for actresses
you know, you're just not, the equality is just not there. It's not, it's the opportunities and the actual pay for those actors. And so I know that that's been a huge conversation, you know, right now, yeah, going on, you know, right, with, with Taraji, I know, you know, when she was saying about the pay scales, just being totally, you know, having right, to fight to defend her talent and to, you know, say I'm qualified to make as much money as X, you know, actor, you know, and that's always been an issue. And I know that even if you're not even talking about actresses in general, women in general have, you know, if you're black and you're a woman, you know, I just played Shirley Chisholm last night and we talked about the same thing. You know, you have this so-called double whammy against you. You know, you're black and a woman. So, you know, what happens sometimes when you get out there is that you're fighting the battle twice. And so that just seems to be like the narrative for black women, which I know, you know, we get this stigma where we, not stigma, but, you know, we get this label, you know, the strong black woman. And sometimes it can be a blessing and a curse because we're, you know, people think, oh, well, she's strong. She can handle that. And, you know, and that's strong. And, you know, and again, underneath this skin, we all bleed red, and you know, and so our talents are worth just what everybody else's talents are worth. Our feelings are the same as everybody else's, and so we're kind of forced into a position where we have to kind of stand our ground for the things that we really think that we're due.
We only have about 3 more minutes left. In this version of it, if I cut it off in the hour mark, and I think I will, because I want us to continue some of this conversation on the webinar, because, and hopefully you all got it in your emails, that link, because I think it is that version that a lot of people are introduced to the radio part of this. And I want us to continue. This is a conversation that I think it's not a malicious or angry thing. It's an observation that we have to deal with. And if we're going to move forward, we all have to move forward taking the same step. You know, I always feel like there's a step ahead of me, and then I take a step. You know? And as an individual, I have benefited very much as an individual from advancement. But I'm not in this alone. I'm not opening the door and closing it behind myself. I'm opening the door, and I want people to come behind me.
Come in.
And that, you know, that is a difficult thing sometimes because people are not ready for it. They think they are, but they're not. But anyway, we're going to continue this on the webinar. We only have about 2 minutes left, so I'm going to thank all of you for coming on this part. Take a deep breath, take some water, and then we're going to transfer from this, which is all audio, to the visual, to the visual. And I look forward to seeing all your beautiful faces in the next minute and a half, 2 minutes. And then I'm going to talk to my audience and thank them for coming in. There will not be a program next week. There's a program the week after that. The exact date of the program, I'm sorry, there is a program next week. What am I saying? There is a program next week with a wonderful guest. It's my last female guest of the month, Saluting Women. It's Lorca Perez, who is the past president of the League of Professional Theater Women. The week after that, April the 3rd, there's none. And then April 10th is when we will be back, and we will have individually, I will have Scott Davenport Richards, who is the son of Lloyd Richards, alone talking about being his career and who, what I believe is the second generation of loyalty in the theater, that we really need to pay attention to these second generations because they are coming up and they're doing some wonderful work. So with all that being said, I'm going to end this episode now. I'm going to see all of you on the radio. I'm going to see my guests in a few minutes. And I'm going to thank you all for coming this far, and I'll see you in a little bit. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks. Right. Yeah, no. Thank you all for coming on to Lenny Godfrey Straight No Chaser. Talk to you in a minute. Bye-bye. Now.
Right. Right. All right.
Bye.
Everybody's got the fever. This is something we all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Never know how much I love you. You never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's too hard to bear. You give me fever.